This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ooh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
What's good, everybody? I'm John Jastrzemski, host of New York, New York with JJ, the first podcast on The Ringer and Spotify dedicated to you, the New York sports fan. We've got episodes three nights a week, plus bonus episodes whenever news breaks. So make sure you follow the show on Spotify.
Oh, greetings and salutations. This is a spooky version of the Mac Mania podcast right around Halloween. All Hallows Eve, man. I got the usual suspects, man. The usual suspects. Shout out to Kaiser Soze. As far as I call it, Flo Bo Boys. What's going on?
I will allow a pun this weekend so you can call me Flo Boo Boys.
Flo Boo. Is it Flo Buto? Flo Buto. And we got the man himself, the real Jack Farmer, chiseled jaw, Clark Kent hairdo. What's going on? I'm sorry, I gave you a real identity. He's Superman. He's Superman, everybody. He's Superman.
Yeah, I was about to say, wow, you specifically said I was not the superhero version. just so everyone's clear, Jack's not a superhero. He's a reporter for a dying news medium. But
yes, he is not Superman. I promise you, he's not Superman. No, guys, man, it was very interesting, man. Crown Jewel, we had season premiere Raw. A lot of great things going on, guys. We're going to keep it very Halloween-ish. We got a whole bunch of things to chop it up. But let me just throw a curveball at y'all right away, because I'm random sometimes. What as far as in the world of wrestling, anything pop out in your mind, anything that tickled your fancy? Anything that tickled your fancy, gentlemen?
If I can start, something that stood out to me is, it came from Crown Jewel, and I know everyone's talked about Crown Jewel a lot already, yeah. But I think Crown Jewel was a statement piece for Seth Rollins. I think that, ooh, you know, I think years ago he became a guy who could be the face of the company. I think years ago he became a guy who was a Hall of Fame lock. But I think at Crown Jewel, after his run with Edge, he has now pushed himself into top all-time lists. I think he's an all-timer.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think he's proven. With reinventing his characters, with all of his matches, with everything he's done, he knocks it out of the park every time.
That is
my goodness. We're putting that on. That's definitely the poll for today. Found the poll for today. Didn't know what the poll for today was, y'all. And keep those votes coming, because we're getting some good traction on that, man. Shout out to that. Shout out to the polls. Yeah, that's going to be a poll. Is Seth Rollins already an all-timer already? It's very interesting. And I like that sometimes you don't always need to win to cement your legacy. Sometimes somebody coming out of the trilogy, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how you win or you lose. It could do something well for you, right? That might have revitalized and refreshed his career. He's going back. He's Monday Night Rollins. He cut that promo. That's an interesting thing. I don't know what your take, Flobo, is, but I'm putting the poll up. See what the people think, because he's in his bag right now.
Oh yeah, man. It kind of reminds me of like John Cena, right? Like, no one really respected him. He was there week to week, but when he dropped off, it was kind of like, oh, okay, there you go.
Seth Rollins. Anything stand out to you this week, Flo? Anything that tickled your fancy through the week of pro wrestling?
So about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, we had the draft, and a lot of people were belly aching online, being like, why is it 3 weeks? Why we gotta wait? But now we're starting to see why that was. You know, Crown Jewel came and went. We saw a season premiere Raw, and well, it's still a mixed bag, though. I do think it means a lot. They're trying a lot of new things at once, which is kind of a good sign when you're thinking about a new creative direction. Man, we got a new Damian Priest, we got new theme songs, all that jazz.
Yeah, shout out to Damian Priest. Shout out to the new entrance of Damian Priest. Shout out to Damian Priest getting a mega push, man. You know know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. DP getting the mega push, man. You know what I mean? I don't want to listen. I will comment on his age again because I don't want this dude try to find me, shoot me with no arrows or anything like that. I try to keep it respectful. He don't even know if I'm going up against him for Halloween. I might. That's how I'm going to make it up to him. I'm going to go with Damian Priest for Halloween. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know if it's cultural. Or, I don't know if it's cultural appropriate for a brother to go as a man from Puerto Rico, but I'm going to try anyway. Yeah. Can I do that? Can black people be other people? Can black people be other ethnic people?
They're black Puerto Ricans, bro. They exist.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. He doesn't, but we don't look the same. You know what I'm saying? I know there's people from Puerto Rico that look black. I'm just saying, is it appropriate for your boy, Flobo, to do
so.
It?
Yeah,
okay. Well. All right. Just, you know, put the braids in, you know what I mean? Start rocking around. I'll have my wife be Bad Bunny. That could rock.
His valet's the most biggest pop star on the planet.
I'm talking myself into it. Oh my god! Every time we want to do a pair, like it's like there's a dude versus she always is the dude for me. So shout out to my wife for always doing that, man. Always conforming to the putting a mustache or a beard on for your boy. You know what I mean? So guys, I got a Halloween question before we move it on, man. Halloween question, guys. I need you guys to name me a wrestler that could replace a very iconic horror movie villain. I need you to replace a wrestler. I'm going to have Flobo do A Nightmare on Elm Street. So you got to replace Freddy Krueger with a wrestler. Any wrestler on the earth. Anybody that you feel is going to replace the cast and make it spicy, either funny or really cool to watch.
Well, I kind of asked for Boo and Madea's Halloween, but Max said I had to do Nightmare on Elm Street. Yo, when you think about someone that can infiltrate your dreams and just be a whole nother level, it gotta be the Demon King Finn Balor, man. Yo, he comes out looking all smart, unassuming, but you fall asleep, bam. You know what I'm saying? Music's going, the smoke is going, I can see it, bro. Give me 8 movies.
Demon King Finn Balor replacing Freddy Krueger. Listen, man, but listen, it's like his handsomeness lulls you to sleep. You see what I'm saying? His abs lull you to sleep. And then all of a sudden, when you go to sleep, it's Demon King and you just can't escape. But I don't know. Here goes the question, because he's very good looking. Do you want to escape? That's the question. I don't know.
It's a romantic movie
like,
now.
Now it's time to wake up. And you're like, no, you're in my dream now.
You're like, you done messed up, bro. You done messed up.
Oh, man.
So we got
Demon King's like, let me out.
Oh, my God, man. Yo, so we got, okay, Jack, so we got Halloween Kills just dropped. Michael Myers film just dropped. Who would you replace as Michael Myers, a very iconic character in Halloween?
I gotta go with Kane here. I mean, it feels a little obvious, but I mean, look, both are big, both are unstoppable monsters.
Pretty much.
Both are known for not talking. Both of them wear masks. Both of them have a strange obsession with destroying a sibling. Both of them survive being burned to death. Most importantly, though, both of them have been rebooted a ton of times and always seem to come back again and again and again. Plus, the music, I mean, you could remix those two together, I think, really well. So,
I want corporate Kane though. That's to be what's he doing in my living room? Balance sheets.
That's amazing. He served you like a subpoena. That's pretty amazing.
Right. No,
that's yeah. I think I want Knox, Tennessee Kane. You know what I mean? Come do it.
Vote for me. No.
and finally. Man, Friday the 13th, I have Bray Wyatt replacing the great Jason Voorhees. Bray Wyatt has so many things at his disposal. He could have brought the Wyatt family, but for this particular movie, he's starting out in this origin. It's just him all alone in the swamp Crystal Lake. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, I'm talking about old school Bray Wyatt, not Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt. I'm talking about that old school Bray, you know what I mean? That had everybody saying he got the whole world in his hands, carrying a lamp, just walking around, running amok. I think that'd be a very scary movie, but one I would watch. And I'd have never told y'all this. Let me tell y'all a fun fact. See, I'm going to put this on the Mac Mania podcast. I came up with that as a horror movie. You know what I mean? The Wyatt family as a horror movie, WWE Studios, before things fell off the rails. Think about that as a horror movie. The Wyatt family, the exact origin. Some kids out camping, right? They accidentally kill Sister Abigail. You see what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Then all of a sudden, the Wyatt family comes to avenge the death of Sister Abigail. See, I'm telling you, it writes itself, Flumble. You already wrote the damn movie.
You got to put a scene where 6 college kids go out to a swamp for a nice vacation. Yeah, exactly. Just like, hey,
pretty cool.
That's I'm telling you, that's exactly what it is. You know what horror movies are. The premise really doesn't matter. It's the killer.
The premise is just getting everyone isolated. That's all it really is. Like, how do they get isolated? And
listen, I told you this, and then I play the age-old game, is how long would that brother live? That's another game. That's a game the black community plays in every horror movie. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. How long will this brother last?
And every movie's different, so it's not the same thing every time. 15 minutes, almost, 20 minutes, we don't know.
I'm telling you, I almost have like a Rolodex. I can tell you off the top of my head what brothers lived in any horror movie. I'm telling you, it's like one of my superpowers. We're gonna get to that next Halloween. I'm telling you, it's a superpower.
You could have picked levitation, flight, and that's a superpower.
I have useless abilities that don't give me any monetary gain at all. But
Evan on the X-Men would be hilarious. Like, Evan, stop the juggernaut. Well, like, this character's gonna live for 20 minutes.
I said, wait a minute, that brother dies in scene 3. They're like, what are you doing? but no, for real. So
this episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So let's put the disclaimer out there, man. We were talking, there's been a lot of things talking, a lot of buzz going on in the Twitter sphere, you know, about Charlotte and Becky and then the title change and things like that. And I want everybody to know that's listening to the Mac Mania podcast. Anybody with an earshot that's listening to Flobo's angelic voice and Jack Farmer's tranquil voice and Evan Mack's raspy voice, because it's early in the morning right now. I want everybody to understand. We can talk about this kind of stuff, man. We can chop it up. We can discuss this thing, man, until they pull the plug on you, boy. We can talk about all kinds of things. You hear me say AEW when we ain't got the axe yet. So what the hell makes y'all think we can't talk about random controversies? However, we don't got all the facts, Jack. Flobo, I don't know if we got all the facts of the Charlotte and Becky title change thing. We seen what happened in the ring with the title change. We seen how they did kind of edit out what happened, because there's something there, fellas. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the whole situation, the title change. Do we like it? Do we hate it? And anything you guys want to comment on that you're allowed to discuss, because you can talk about anything.
Jack?
Yeah, so this was... I agree. Well, by the way, I don't like to talk about things I don't know about. I'll speculate on things that don't matter. Like,
I would love to talk about this.
Like Vince McMahon tweeting. I'll speculate on that all day, because who cares? That's silliness. That's nonsense. But this is, you know, big things like that I don't like to speculate on. As far as just the title change, I hated this from all perspectives but one. I hated that it makes the draft more complicated than it has to be. I hate that it makes title reign history waters even more murky, even if that doesn't really matter. I still hate it because I wish they were better and more clear. I hate it because you never see any other sport trade titles. Like, how preposterous would it be if two boxers changed weight classes and they swapped titles? It's just silly to me. I hated imagery. That they had multiple opportunities to book around this so it wouldn't be an issue, and they chose not to. I hated that they built up to it as the main event. But if I'm being honest, right now, if they were to tell me that they were going to have Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch as a match at Survivor Series, I would be all in on it. I would be so in on it right now. Ooh. And at the end of the day, if that's what the goal is, whether or not it was, regardless of how we got there, at the end of the day, tell me you would not be all in on paying for a show right now to see those two have a match. I'd be sold on it.
Do you feel potential real heat, like real backstage heat, like this really might be, if things ever get confirmed? Do you feel that makes things more interesting, a la like Edge and like Matt Hardy those years ago? Do you think that drives up the ticket sales, gentlemen? Or do you think that that drives up the intrigue? Do you need that kind of real drama in the back to increase the intensity of something? Or does that complicate things?
What I've seen, and again, I'm only speculating too, historically, yeah, it'll get more chatter around the Twitter sphere, but doesn't really equate to dollars, right? Because those who read those reports are enthusiasts and they kind of read the results, or they either have a friend that already has the network. They don't really buy in because I've heard controversy. It's very unlike UFC in that case. Now, I'm with Jack. Booking around it, okay, maybe you want that stare down. Maybe you want the season premiere of SmackDown. No, that was last week. You want the episode to have that cool thing, but it shouldn't be the main event for two reasons. One, it's not a match or isn't an angle that can progress on that show. And two, literally the year before, the title exchange was a comedy segment between the New Day and the Street Profits. So you have a main event and you have these two stare down. You really set them up for it to be kind of awkward to begin with. It just kind of delivered the awkwardness. It did not.
Yeah. It's, like I said, especially if all this stuff gets confirmed and things get confirmed, it's I don't know. It's weird. It's awkward. I don't like anybody in awkward situations and anybody that's clamoring for this. Yeah, don't nobody like these kind of awkward things. They really don't. Y'all good listen, because most of the what I'm reading, what I'm seeing these young whippersnappers out here now again. A lot of people are awkward, man. People are more awkward than I remember. You know what I mean? I was a weird kid. I used to be on my little Trapper Keeper playing with X-Men. You know what I mean? With that damn good theme song, Flobo. Swinning, winning, winning.
It's okay. Like, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
You know what I mean? So it's very interesting to see how things unfold. But but Jack, I'm with you, brother, on the Chad O'Shane. I don't know, do something. Well, good question though. What would you have them do? What would you have them do, Jack? As opposed to the title change you didn't like, what would you propose them do? What's the better alternative than just saying here and here?
I think going as far back, I would say that champions shouldn't be able to be drafted in the draft. That seems silly to me in the beginning. But also you had the out at Crown Jewel where you could have had different people come out with the title. You had the out with Bianca Belair that Bianca Belair could have won the title and that would have fixed it. They had multiple steps along the way where they could have avoided this and it would have been great. So it's not like any of those options would have been weird either. It's not like that would have been awkward. Bianca Belair winning would have been great for her. It would have fixed the title problem. I think everyone would have gone home happy. That would have been perfect. So that's one of the reasons it was frustrating to me, is you gave us a non-finish in a big match. Didn't really help anyone in that situation, and you still found yourself in an awkward title exchange. But again, it is what it is, and now I'm all in on seeing Becky Lynch for Charlotte Flair at Survivor Series.
I agree with you. I agree. But imagine if I was like someone in control of SmackDown only. Like, so Crown Jewel already happened, and I can change anything. Right. It definitely would have been a backstage segment. It would have been a backstage. It would be probably more serious, maybe.
Like the Street Profits did with the New Day.
Yeah, it could be serious. It could drop a couple of shoulders. It could stare Russia down. It could say, I run this show now, and just have it on and give us some new matches. What was frustrating about SmackDown in particular is that we had, 7 to 9 like character vignettes backstage. Hey, I'm coming to SmackDown, and we didn't see them wrestle. It was a weird time for that episode. There was time there, the fact that became the main event, which is kind of questionable.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you're saying. Sidebar, I do want to say, I'm critical of the shenanigans that goes over across the water, but I will have to say, I will confess, I watched Crown Jewel, and I seen when the ladies came out, and I did hear some chants. I did hear some cheers. I did hear once again that Sasha Banks is over on every single part and inch of the galaxy. No matter where that young lady goes, Miss Mercedes is over. She is over, man. And I will say this, and I will attest that the crowd in Saudi, they seem more welcoming than they've ever been. I will say that it was, and I have to give credit where credit's due. When a brother's critical in the privacy of his own home, being like, y'all behind the times, and I don't care. I'm all the way over here in America, so I talk. So I want all the smoke. I'm criticizing, but when you guys do things that I feel that you progress and you move forward, and WWE is doing certain things. Put it like this: they're respecting your customs, they're respecting your culture. The ladies come out; they're dressed the way you want them to dress. They're respectful the way you want them to be respectful. They come out and they do the best they can. And so I got a shout out to the first female referee to have a referee there. There's a lot of history that happened during Crown Jewel that I don't want to gloss over, and I want to make sure I give the proper props to WWE and Saudi for letting it happen. I'll give them props as well.
So I'll give you a little golf clap for coming around a bit.
Can I just say it was a great event, but we got to stop using The Weeknd, man. I mean, we use all of his songs on that album for these pay-per-views.
Hold on, whoa, wait a minute, though. You trying to change the show, though. Don't mean no Weeknd slander going on.
I'm not slander. I love cheesecake. Can't have it 3 times a day. I can't do it.
Cheesecake is actually my favorite cake of all time. But if you tell me the cheesecake is a slapper, Brian's over here fist pumping.
I was going to say,
cheesecake is a slapper.
I was going to challenge you. I could eat cheesecake, I think, 3 times a day.
The reason why I can't is because it's 2,000 calories a slice. Like, I cannot.
Oh, so you agree then? So you agree you can have 3 times a day. So what are we talking about?
What I'm talking about is you can't compare cheesecake to The Weeknd. The cheesecake is he's a movement. He's an entity. He's a being. He's it's like when he sings, he's like astral projects, man. He ain't even his body. He's like at the crib.
I ain't hating on him or cheesecake. I'm just saying.
The Weeknd is like the Doctor Strange. He's like in his house, like while playing Xbox, but he does concerts. Like he's an entity. He can phase shift. Yo, The Weeknd's cold, man.
I know he is. I'm just putting it out there.
But it used to be Flo Rida, though. They changed it for Flo Rida at The Weeknd.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't run people. Yo, spit it out, man. Spit it out.
Yo, there's all the apple bottom jeans. What is that? That's Flo Rida, right?
Yeah.
And T-Pain, right?
It's going down for real.
Flobo said he loved The Weeknd. He had one note. Y'all can't use The Weeknd, man. Y'all gotta stop that fool.
I don't want that smoke. Please stop.
Yo, shout out. I'm gonna say, I'll be the new poll. I'm like, what do you like better, The Weeknd or cheesecake?
No, and then we'll see who actually listens to the show and who votes recklessly on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you guys have been exposed. No. Oh my goodness, guys. Who was it? I think Jack Former came up with a cool idea, man. We drop into it's Halloween time, keeping with the Halloween themes, guys. Spookiest wrestlers. You can make that what you will. And whatever comes to your mind when you hear the word spookiest wrestlers, who do you think of? Listen, I'm gonna start out the gate, man. Listen, it's very unconventional. I know you're gonna be, what the hell y'all talking about? Like, I say, listen, I got Kamala on there. You talking about spookiest wrestlers, man. I'm thinking about Young Evan, Young Legs Mac, back in the day, man. Kamala scared me, man. It was brother that was walking around. He was jumping around. He never spoke. He just made noises. He had like a handler. This was like kind of my first introduction to this kind of stuff when I was a kid, man. I used to be very, very scared of Kamala, man. Kamala scared me. What, he's spooky. That was spooky. Y'all not agree?
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't challenge him.
There's so many wrestlers that we could have chosen, but I was like, man, who used to freak me out when I was a kid, man? I'm like, because The Undertaker scared me too, but that's always a natural choice, you know what I mean? But Kamala, man, it was the casket matches with Taker, and he was always, I don't know, man. He made me fear for his life. He made me fear for my life. It was a lot of emotions going on with Young Evan when I was trying to find myself.
When you were younger, those were the scariest wrestlers too, because...
Oh, God, yeah. Papa Shango? Oh, my God.
Because you'd always, even then, no matter how much you understood about pro wrestling, there's this part of you that still thought there was a level of realism to what they were portraying as
when
well.
When did you realize wrestling wasn't real, Jack?
I don't know. I think it was
And you know what
like,
I mean. You know, there's so many real elements of the product. You know what, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah. I don't know if there was, I say it was like Santa Claus, where I don't know if there was like a moment, where it was given away. I think it was just one of those slow understandings.
Oh, that's probably what it was.
Oh, that's the worst. I remember, man. It was the spring of 1999.
Damn, you actually remember?
Yeah, because my mom scrimped and saved and got a brand new compact Presario, bro. And
Shout out to the compact Presario. Shout out to the compact with a Q. They spell compact with a Q.
Whoa. If they're not a sponsor, let's not.
They exist? I don't know.
Listen, if we shout out sponsors, that we can't even give us any money. Shout out to the Betamax.
Yeah. Laser disc.
Shout out to Laser disc.
So I put in wrestling news and I saw all the dirt sheet sites and it was kind of like, wait, you mean like Razor Ramon didn't lose to Diesel? It was a predetermined? Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I don't, just like Jack said, essentially, I don't remember at all. I think it was a moment where, which I'm a firm believer in when it comes to that kid. Don't spoil the Santa Claus thing until the kid spoils it. You let the imagine. The problem with going on with that, I feel, you know, I'm not trying to get too deep into stuff, but like people, kids lose their imagination way faster than they used to. And people don't imagine anymore. They don't pretend that their fantasy is all gone. Like you don't want to know who's behind the curtain of Oz. You don't. You don't want to know that at all. And so I think when it comes to things like wrestling, when it comes to things like movies, when it comes to things like, especially like Santa Claus, if that's what you celebrate Christmas, like those are the things that I think you should just let them go. If your child literally as a mini adult comes up to you and asks you if Santa Claus is real, you know what I mean? Like I see some things going on here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like don't lie to your children, but you know what I mean? Keep the element of surprise. I'm telling you, kids with active imaginations, I am telling you, they're really fun to be around. I'm just food for thought. Don't be doing destroying kids' wonderment is what I'm trying to say.
It's actually warms my heart when a kid's like, I don't think Santa Claus is real. And you're like,
it's really cool. Yeah, it's cool either way. I remember one time, or you get to play along with the game. You know what I mean? Like, Evan, did you see that? Yeah, can you believe so and so? I'm like, yeah, man. You gotta be careful. Like them crazy German like Grimm's fairy tales, man. Listen, them German kids was. Let me tell you something right now, boy. Word. Like I keep that going. That Krampus is real. Yeah. But no. So I got Kamala at Spookiest Wrestler, flobito.com. Who you got, yo?
Man, you're talking about someone that transcends plane. I gotta get the Undertaker, but not just any old Undertaker, because there's so many different iterations.
There's many different kinds.
I gotta go with that Taker 98. That satanic ministry / corporate ministry. Terrifying. The abducting Undertaker, the cult leader, like that one was great. The symphony rock theme song with the brimstone coming out, purple flames. Snapper. Woo! That's my spookiest wrestler for sure.
I can't argue with 98 Taker. That's some scary stuff, man.
I like that. That's my favorite.
I was still young, man. Yeah, I agree, Jack. That's my favorite as well. Spookiest Taker, 1998 Taker. God, this is really good stuff. There's so many there's so much poll potential on this show right now.
not to be a nerd about it, but if you go to WWE 2K and you give the stats, is Taker 98 the highest stat Taker?
I think so. I think he's 90, like rated 91 as of 2020. It was the last game I bought.
That's interesting.
2019, yeah.
Because that seemed like he was that as most powerful, besides not counting like just unbeatable legend Undertaker of the past few years. But
right,
it's kind of making you think though. That kind of makes you think how the top brass feels about 98 Taker.
Yeah, I love that. I love 98 Taker, but he was the scariest version because he was satanic. I mean, how do you top that?
Yo, he had a man. He had like one of those like bums, like those the buns on top of his head, and you wouldn't go tell him to his face look weird, right? Because he could probably possess you. You know what I'm saying?
I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Whether you're religious or you're not religious, and you start throwing the word Satan around, I think people would be like, I think you wouldn't take your chances if I said, yo, Satan is in this room right now.
Yeah. Right.
If you're a non-believer, why don't you go in there and spend the night?
Yeah, Satan's living in the basement. Stay the night down there for a couple
of don't care what your belief system is. I just feel like there's a certain things when the rubber meets the road. Like when the life's on the line, I see you people praying. You know what I mean? Right. I know a few people. I ain't going to name no names. I love y'all out there. But I know a couple of people personally that are like, I don't believe in the higher power. But they were like, when something was going on with them personally, they were like, man, I was like talking to God. You know what I mean? I swear to y'all, you're going to get personal on the Mac Mania podcast. When that happens, I just picture like God up there, like on a cloud, being like, okay, you want to call you? Okay, he's just sitting there, like, oh yeah, they always call a brother, though. You know what I'm saying?
So now God's gonna have Evan's accent in my head forever. Now, thanks.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Though he's got his arms crossed, being like, oh, you want to call a brother now? Okay, all right. Nah, you ain't believing me. You just keep that energy. Like I just picture him being up there, like,
That's everyone in heaven now, that voice. I'm going to be at the pearly gates, and St. Peter's going to be talking like that to you. Oh, now you want to get into heaven. Okay, right, Jack.
Since we got the greatest producer in all the world, man, Brian Water, shout out to Troy, dude. I ain't sleeping on you, Troy. Don't get it twisted. He pops in. Attitude Era Undertaker was rated at 95, along with Austin and HBK. And Cena being at 96 on WWE 13.
Oh,
he came
Punk
through
one.
With that, but real time. We don't deserve this, man.
Woo!
Yeah,
that's actually one of the better ones. 13 was actually one of the better ones.
And don't get it twisted, man. We just found out Troy used to sing opera. Man, my producer team is it's disgusting. It's like, I wish y'all had these men at y'all disposal. We got Troy. He said, I sing opera. I'm like, you sing opera? Wait a minute. Brian Waters we talking about some video games? And here come Brian Waters with ratings on real time. We don't deserve these people. Where's the Emmy?
Clap it up. Clap it up. Emmy. Clap it up. Clap it up.
Is there, you can get an audio Emmy, can't you?
I think
Grammy. Where's the Grammy?
You get an Emmy for anything these days, I think.
I just thought they just hand Emmys out to everybody. So you know what? Give me the Grammy. My boy Seth MacFarlane just got an audio Grammy. Yeah, give me a Grammy.
Yeah, at my least production, a participation Emmy, right?
My production team is unbelievable. Let's keep it real, man. You got an opera singer. You got an opera singer and a wrestling super encyclopedia on standby. I don't think so.
Nope. Mac Mania.
No, just but for real, I'm not even joking, man. I wasn't even trying to be facetious. These guys are dope. But before we get into the very, very special part of this show, I want to listen. I want to bring the mood down a little bit, man. It's Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday morning, man. It's a lot of things. I seen the birds chirping. The birds are singing. It's a beautiful time, and it's a time for D'Lo appreciation.
Oh yeah, D'Lo Brown, one of the best to ever do it, fellas. A lot can happen in 7 days, right? We record an episode of Mac Mania. We eat dozens of meals. We can book a trip to anywhere around the world. Mm. But for 7 days, D'Lo Brown was an NWA Tag Team Champion alongside Apollo in April 2004 for total nonstop action. Win the straps on April 14th. Depending on what you believe, either Wikipedia's episode 93 or TNA's episode 90. Check it out, Impact Plus on Wikipedia. But what was notable about it was three things. One, D'Lo's ring gear was on point. He had the robe, it was going on, the hooded robe, looking like a box, looking fresh, looking clean. Two, he's along such world tag team title winners like the Rock and Roll Express, Wyndham and Blanchard, the Hollywood Blondes, LAX. And number three, most importantly, D'Lo and Apollo lost the titles to Kid Cash in a pre-Lance Archer Dallas by disqualification because Apollo snapped and started using a foreign object, which means D'Lo, to me, is still the champ. And that is this week's D'Lo Appreciation.
Wow, campaigning for him still having the title. D'Lo Appreciation. And still.
And still, man. He came out there, won, got the pinfall, got the title, got the straps, and Apollo messed it up for everybody. So I'm just saying, D'Lo Brown, listen right now. You are a champion always in my heart, man.
We have covered a lot of things on Mac Mania Podcast. We have covered, listen, Troy did opera. Brian is an encyclopedia. The Weekend Astro projects. Cheesecake is the best cake. There's a lot of things we covered here. Santa Austin Claus is real.
Too.
Spread it.
Yo, shout out to D'Lo Appreciation, man. Oh my goodness, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Shout out to the NWA too. I just think if you just shout out anything, it just sounds good. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to these headphones. You know, shout out to Jack's
calories.
Shout out to calories.
shout out to the 2,000 calories a slice.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yo, oh my goodness. And here goes the, I want to get to the meat. I want to get to the heart of this thing, man. We, like I said, as I alluded to before, we have two intrepid producers, man. And it's so great. It's a great dichotomy. We got Brian Waters over here, Encyclopedia. And then Troy, he's who he admitted. He said, I really don't know that much, man. I said, oh, well, I don't need you. I need you to bring in your other knowledge. I need you to push back. I need you to tell us if this shit is whack or not. So I need, you know what I mean? When someone, you need someone that's close to the product and you need someone that's far away from the product. And you guys, and we can meet in the middle. But I thought we came up with this cool idea to incorporate Troy, and I wanted to bring Troy in. And we're doing a new game show. I get to put on my game show voice. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on this new game show, and I call it Is It a Finisher?
Hey.
right there. There's supposed to be some, this. Right now, there should be some music that Brian Waters put in post. That's very like, you know, game showy. So Troy, you're there, sir. Troy, you're there.
I'm here, guys. Pumped to make my Mac Mania debut. I hope that my debut is just as good as Ronda Rousey's was. I come from the world of MMA. This is the world I know. I know nothing about wrestling except for when MMA fighters go into pro wrestling.
That's great. That's fire. This is great. This is what it's all about. Shout out to Troy being here, man. Listen, I would love on another episode, but I just want you to just sing the opera version of the Mac Mania podcast. We'll get to that later. I want you to get your throat cleared. I want you to get everything. I want you to get the honey in
you. You want it in French or Latin or German? I can do it
wow.
all.
Oh, wow. You are not flexing like that. Wow.
Yo, we flexing on your boy early in the morning. Damn, three language opera. Listen, we're doing this. Is It a Finisher? Flowbeetle.com is going to give Troy a list of moves, finishing moves that are in professional wrestling. Troy's job is to guess, is it a real? Is it a ruse? Is Flobo messing around? Is he pulling his leg? You know what I mean? So he's going to give you the name, Troy, and you say, is it real or is it fake? So this is It a Finisher?
All right, Troy, here's the deal. You don't have to tell me who the person is. Just tell me it's 50-50 shot, whether it's real or fake. And to sweeten the pot, every question you get right, I'll donate $5 to a charity on your behalf, right?
So, wow.
So, for example...
This is real.
This is real. So you tell me after the show. This is an example one. If I say Styles Clash, you tell me real or fake. What do you think?
That sounds fake to me.
Okay, this one is actually real. AJ Styles uses the finisher, but it's right. 50-50 shot. But also, you can phone a friend one time for some help. You can ask Evan or Jack, but I suggest Evan because Jack will screw you over. You understand?
I've got that about Jack so far.
He's not wrong.
All right, we got seven of these, right? Number one. Number one, the Stone
Jack
Cold.
Jack did not deny that at all.
No, not at all.
That's why I'm laughing. He didn't even say, no, I will.
No, not at all. So number one, the Stone Cold Stunner, real or fake?
Okay, I know Stone Cold Steve Austin, real guy. So I imagine he has a move. I already forgot what you said the name of it was, but I'm going to say that is real.
Yes, it is. The Stone Cold Stunner is Steve Austin's finishing move.
Congratulations. Bravo.
That's $5 in the bank, baby. Moving on.
Wow, starting off strong.
The Bolshoi Russian Suplex.
The Bolshoi Russian suplex? Suplex? What the Russian heck does suplex. That mean?
It's real or fake.
That's got to be fake, right?
Fake. It's actually the finishing move of Street Fighter character Zangief. So you're right. It is a Vegas.
A Street Fighter finishing move.
Yeah. That's $10 in the bank for your charity, man. We got five more for you. Joint custody.
Joint custody? Oh, gosh. Joint that custody. Sounds controversial. I'm going to say that's fake.
It's actually real. It's the finishing move of Lee Moriarty from AEW. It's a close one. It's right. It's kind of a deep cut, but you know what? I was a 50-50 shot. Joint custody is actually a real finishing move.
I did not. I swear to God, I didn't. It's you a real lying. I'm so glad you didn't phone a friend.
Yeah, I was thinking, if this isn't one, it should be.
Yeah. Seriously, I was like, oh my God, please be real. Please be real. Please be real.
$10 a bag, got four more to go.
Wow.
The Last Ride.
The Last Ride. Ooh, I really like that. I really like that. That sounds real to me, but the way you said it makes me feel like it's fake.
You can slip on a friend if you want.
I could, but there are no friends in business, as I've
learned. I'm not going to screw you over,
You have $10 in the bank.
I got to phone Mac on this one.
He's phoning a friend.
He's phoning Mac. The Last Ride is a real move.
Troy, what do you say?
I'm going to lock it in. It's a real move.
That is correct. The Last Ride was one of the finishing moves of The Undertaker. $15 in the bank for a charity for Chizzy, man.
Thank God you didn't phone a friend on Lee Moriarty's move.
Shout out to Lee Moriarty.
There was a part of me like, I'm so glad I didn't get asked that.
Jack was going to be like, it's fake.
You don't know? Three more for you. The Ram Jam.
Oh, God.
The Ram Jam. I really like the name of that. That has to be real. But we've gone on a little stretch here of real, so I feel like it's fake. It's fake. I'm locking it in.
Wait. Is it real or is it fake? I'm confused.
I'm going with fake.
That's actually correct. It's fake. It's actually the finishing move of Randy the Ram from the movie The Wrestler. That's a good job.
He's
there,
killing it right now.
I'm just playing statistics at this point.
Yeah. Ironically, Stretch of Real is my finishing move.
This is
Stretch of Real.
He's killing it right now.
$20 in the bank. We got two more for you, Troy.
Shout out to the charity, man.
Cattle mutilation.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't like the sound
of Halloween. That. It's Halloween. I had to do something really grim.
Yeah. Cattle mutilation?
Damn.
Gosh. I have no more lifelines. I can't do the 50-50 to the audience. I can't do the eliminate.
We're recording. What audience?
Let's see. Cattle mutilation. That's so out there. That's got to be true. It's real.
It's actually real. One of the moves used by Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson.
Oh, my God.
That is, what, $25 in the bank? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Last one, Troy.
This is incredible run he's on.
This is $25 in the bank. This one will count for double. Why not? Why not do a little double? This one's worth $10 for a charity for choosing.
Damn.
Last one. Kiss of Death.
I mean, that has to be real. That has to be real. It has to be like a Becky Lynch finishing move or something. Kiss of Death. It's definitely a finishing move. I don't know if it's a wrestling finish move. It's gotta be a term in sports somewhere. Is it a pro wrestling thing? It's real. It's gotta be real.
Locked in final answer?
I'm trying to read the facial expressions of the boys around me here. I'm gonna lock it in.
That is correct. Kiss of Death is a finishing move of Bianca Belair. $35 to a charity for choosing. Troy, after the show, let me know what charity you want. Congratulations for playing. Is it a finisher?
Wow. Thank you for having me. And thank you for the generosity there. We'll have to do this again for, another time. For
Troy,
I did so much better than I thought.
Yeah. Troy's debut on the Mac Mania podcast, knocking it out the park, man. Are you kidding me? $35 charity of his choosing. My goodness gracious. What, did he only miss one?
I think he missed Lee Moriarty's poor guy.
My goodness.
I can live with that. I mean, these are better test scores than I ever got.
So this is, wait. So Troy can sing in multiple languages,
yes,
and seems to know more about pro wrestling than the host. What are we even on the show for?
Troy Mania. What
is it, a finishing? No, yeah, man. That was the, wow. Goodness gracious, man. Lord have mercy. Great stuff, man. I was watching Brian. Brian was in awe. Brian was impressed. He was flabbergasted, just like all of us. It was brilliant work. It was deductive reasoning. It was amazing, man. Don't test opera singers. I've learned a lot today on this show. Don't test them. But after this, is it a finisher? That is a nice time, nice segue to break into one of my favorite segments. I call it Haul the Way, Jack Farmer.
Yes, Haul the Way. So this is the segment where I pick a wrestler and we say, if they retired right this second, have they already done enough to go all the way to the Hall of Fame, called Haul the Way? This one, I'm going to pull at your heartstrings a little bit, fellas, because I know we all love the person I am going to mention. So I'm going to ask you, if he retired right this minute and called it a day, never came back, would Samoa Joe go to the Hall of Fame?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a real good one.
It's good, but it's so good that it's a yes. It's a yes, yes, and a yes. I don't know how many. Like any other languages I can think of. Flobo, that face right there already getting on my dad. I don't know. That you sitting in the B-boy stands is really pissing me off right now.
Yes, I'm out here flexing rock steady, all right?
He in the B-boy stands right now. I know y'all New Yorkers embedded in the rap game, but you can't be flexing on me. Listen,
be careful, you're about to get served.
I always do this. Jack, what is his accolades?
So here are the things. He has a ton of them. PWI Feud of the Year in 2007, most popular 2006, number four on PWI's top 500 in 2006 and 2008, Ring of Honor Pure and World Champion, TNA, TV, Tag, World, X Division, King of the Mountain, everything else, plus that triple threat with AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels.
Huge.
Plus, in WWE, NXT three-time champion, two-time U.S. champ, and Dusty Rhodes tag team classic. Finn, the cons are, this is the issue, most of his big accolades were outside of WWE. True. And we still haven't seen the NXT accolades propel someone to the Hall of Fame. So from that standpoint, he's really only standing on two U.S. title reigns. Outside of being awesome.
Okay.
I'm with you on that.
Here goes. This is my only pushback. Think about it. He's spent more time in WWE than Sting did.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Because Sting, even though WWE bought it, we know what WCW represented. We knew what it was. And you know what Sting was. Sting was synonymous with WCW. But he got to WWE for like that brief stint. He had those couple matches. And career ended a little short with Seth Rollins, that Seth Rollins match on Raw. But he got into the Hall. You know what I mean? As it's almost like a lifetime achievement award. He got into the Hall of Fame because everyone's like, the Hall of Fame isn't real. I go, it is though. You know, I've already proposed that they build something down like in City Walk down in Orlando and like literally make it a Hall of Fame with some of the stuff from the warehouse and literally make it a real thing. People would pay money to go see that. I know I would.
I would.
So,
yeah.
to make a real Hall of Fame at City Walk, even or build something that has like an auditorium and literally have a real museum. Like if you go down to Hollywood and you go to like the Grammy Museum and you have all these real memorabilia, and then on Hall of Fame night each year, you have people come in and watch Hall of Fame. Oh, people would watch that. People would pay for that.
Yeah.
So everyone says it's not real, but we all know what it means to the superstars and what it means to the legends and the managers and the people that get this thing. If it didn't mean anything, they wouldn't come out with such impassioned speeches. So let's pretend for a minute this is a real Hall of Fame like Ken. I gotta give him the nod just based on all the things that you said, Jack, all the things that you mentioned, all the things you echoed, his body work, his longevity. Is it really a hindrance on his career, or is it his fault that he never made it to the show till later on his career? You know what I mean? Do I take the Hall of Fame away from him for that? I gotta go yes because of the Sting law.
So if I could pitch two arguments, Flobo, if that's okay before you respond.
Sure.
One is Samoa Joe at the level of a Sting, are we saying? Which, hey, maybe, possibly. But the thing is, there's the old saying, everyone loves you when you're dead. And with WCW gone, it's very easy to say, look at all the things he did in this other company. The thing about where Samoa Joe had these great moments, they're still around. They're still doing things. And I don't know if WWE wants to say, we're putting a Hall of Fame, we're going to make this guy in the Hall of Fame based on what he did with these other very much still going companies.
That's fair. So where do you land on that?
I was kind of on a journey. The first thing when I heard Jack say, I was like, yeah. Then I was like, well, like to your point, Jack, most of his stuff was outside of WWE. And I was like, does he mean Impact Hall of Fame? Is it all Hall of Fames? You mean WWE Hall of Fame? It's going to be a yes, but it's going to be a slight yes. And the reason
WWE Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yeah, of course. You're right. It's going to be a slight yes. And the reason was, even with the Sting rule in effect, it's when you have that retrospective like package at the Hall of Fame, maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the line, he won't be first ballot. It will be one of those things where like, like he influenced the whole thing backstage, the promo school on backstage, like carry NXT to do two different eras. The three title runs were definitely strategic for that brand. I think there's going to be an appreciation, but this won't be sudden. So I'm going to go with yes after much debate in my head.
Brian Waters, what say you, sir? Brian Waters, I'm asking, I'm calling upon you, sir. I said, record your stuff just in case I call upon you, and this is the moment I'm calling upon you. You're like a chocolate Captain Planet. We summoned you.
Yeah, I'm hurt.
Well, if it's anybody that you want to put in the Hall of Fame based on what they've done in NXT, right? I believe it's Samoa Joe. And you look at the history, I believe he may be the first three-time NXT world champion or first two-time champion. Yeah. But all the stuff that he's done there, I'm putting him in. I just think, you know, you can't tell the history of that brand without him, and considering how well he's done and to be able to come from Impact Wrestling, let's not act like Impact was ever equal competition to the WWE. For him to come over there, him and AJ Styles, and rise above the stuff that they did in the past, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though. That, to me, is always the great question when it comes to any sport Hall of Fame. Can you tell the story without their body of work? That's always, to me, is always a great gauge. I really like when they just released the 75 best players in the last 75 years in the NBA. And there's a lot of people that are in their feelings, and I understand why, because there's only 75 players being named. But if you go by the rule, can you tell the story of the NBA without them?
than they shouldn't be on. You know, everyone's like, how's Reggie on? I go, Reggie had some of the greatest moments against the Knicks ever. You know what I mean? Like playoff. So like you gotta, so I know what you mean. Like, Brian, can you tell the story of NXT without Samoa Joe's impact and what he's done? I know it seems soon because he battled injuries. You know, it's more of an injury thing and your body not agreeing with you. So I think he would even had a better run without the concussions and things like that. You know what I mean? So it's kind of tragic. So can you, so Flo Beato, I know you said, yeah, but so can you take that TNA body of work, put it in a pot with the NXT work, put it in and sprinkle in a little bit of the WWE main roster work and then put it in the pot, stir it up, let it simmer and then pour it out and then it's Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think so. I think someone can do and contribute for so many different promotions and rosters. And, you know, we always say how big wrestling is. We pick a promotion and stick our feet down, but it's kind of a big family. And so you think about the needle being moved, they got to get Samoa Joe. Again, I don't think it'll be year one. He won't go on as quickly as Edge would be if he were to retire, but I do think he will be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, like if he retired tomorrow, oh, yeah, it's probably be years down the line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would. Do you think he'd be part headliner at all? Or
I mean, I would. I would enjoy the heck out of that. Having a whole chanting Joe. But I don't think so. I really don't.
I can't emphasize enough how great I think he is as a professional wrestler. Historically, amazing. You know what I mean? I really. He's something special, man. He really is.
I mean, I'd put him in just for the fact that if I said no, he wouldn't even have to say anything. He could just stare at me, and I'd probably pee myself, and then I'd put him in.
Yeah, I'm putting him in based on fear. By fear alone.
The most important aspect.
He's like, I'm in, right? I go, yeah, man, damn. We just got a little podcast. We don't got no power, but you in, bro. You in. But no. Oh, yeah, before we get to the final segment, man, we definitely want to encourage people to send any mail to the It's Mac Mania podcast on Twitter. Hit us up, guys. Any questions, anything you want us to talk about, man, we will give y'all a quick shout out, man. Shout out to I think it's Asterios Kokinkos. I think that sounds Greek. If you're Greek, man, holla at your boy, one of the best names I've ever heard in my entire life. Wanted to give you a shout out for giving us some love on the on Twitter, man, and telling us how much you enjoy the show. We really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate the kind words and the well wishes, man. It really, really means a lot to us. So hope I got your name right, Asterios Kokinkos, because your name is cold blooded, man. Sound like one of them Greek gods back in the day, man. Like you wouldn't nobody mess with. If you're Greek, man, wouldn't nobody trifle with you, Asterios?
So many abs.
That is an amazing name. That sounds like you definitely don't want your girl hanging out with a guy with a name like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just going to the hall. We're just going to the library to study. I go, with who? She's like, Asterios Kokinkos. I go, the hell you are?
I'll come with you.
I said, what's his name? Asterios? You must be. I said, girl, you must have got me messed up in here. But what? I go, have you heard his name?
Why don't you go study with Herb or something instead?
Herb. Listen, I'm trying to tell you, man. Like, you better hang out with Bartholomew. Yo, shout out to anybody named Bartholomew out there. It's just the first name I thought of. Your name is dope. Yeah, you're special too. You're special too. But Asterio, I wish I might. But before we get it out of there, man, a segment that I haven't heard in a few weeks. It is Flo Beato's Boothang of the Week.
Oh. Flo Beato's Boothang of the Week.
Man, Boothang of the Week, we highlight female talent in professional wrestling. And we have our first ever two-time Boothang.
Woo!
It's got to be Zelina Vega. Yo, we sat here last week. We had predictions for Crown Jewel, and your boy got it right. Zelina Vega is our first.
We almost made it this whole damn show without commenting on Flobo's win.
I am gracious in my win, like how Zelina was gracious in her coronation on Monday Night Raw. She's going to rule for a long time. Took down Doudrop, someone stronger and faster than she was. She is on a trajectory. Look, this time last year, she was released. And now she's on top of the chart. Incredible. Gotta give it up to Zelina, man. Boothang of the Week.
Shout out to Zelina Vega. Shout out to the new La Reina. It's tough not to. She's dope, man. She's dope. And like I said, in all seriousness, in real life, she's like an angel. So she really truly is a character. Like that's another thing that's getting lost. A lot of people, I live the gimmick. I go where I don't. You know, with all due respect to method actors, I like actors that can just turn it on. You know what I mean? Zelina actually is an angel. She like bake you a pumpkin pie. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So like, but then she could turn on and be that heel. to me shows how much she's into her character work and how much she's into the mean girl thing. And she's great at her craft. She's not just this side piece that was with Andrade. You know what I mean? She in Angel. So it's really great to see her on her own doing her thing and coming from someone that got released and things that are weird with her man over at the other product, AEW. And CRB, win Queen's crown in Saudi. Yeah, that gotta be Boothang. Damn near Boothang of the month.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't got the R&B guy anymore, man. He's indisposed right now. Okay. So I can't change. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's hard to locate now.
You got an opera singer on staff. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's real talk. We about to change it up. Florita, Boothang of the month. But he'd be like, Florita. Yo, Troy, I'm coming for you, baby.
I'm down for it.
Let's go.
I'd be like, Troy.
Yo, Troy, you can't hang with your boy. I think everything needs to just be in the opera singing now. Forget the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, we're done. I'm like, yeah. we're going opera singing this whole thing and alienate the whole entire audience.
Baker 98.
I mean, there's a musical episode. WWE opera crossover, if you guys didn't
that
know.
That joy would be crazy. A rock opera? That'd be crazy.
Let's
yo.
Do it.
Like, you don't want none. You don't want none. That was AJ Styles' song.
It's too early for that, man.
Put that in the bag. That's a show coming up.
Yo, for Jack Farber, Flo Old Boys, Brian Waters, Troy, my man, I appreciate you for joining us, man.
Thank you, and I appreciate Flobo for giving me some really easy ones there and for donating to a good cause.
My pleasure, man.
Mac Media Podcast, we out, y'all. Appreciate y'all.